Cash has managed to turn past Maitland-Niles. It's not away yet, Holding's header. And here's Eric Lehigh. Oh, that's a remarkable goal. Lehigh has two, Forest have two. And that second one is truly brilliant.
Welcome to EPL 1300, presented by Liners Irish Pub.
Virgil van Dijk has scored his debut. Mike Still. And in it goes. And van Dijk gets it. No one's remembering the earlier miss now.
Lexington's only show covering the English Premier League.
Grimmer. Bit of space here. Still Grimmer. It's in! The shock is back on. Jack Grimmer.
Now here's the host of EPL 1300, Matthew Lawrence, Colly Taylor, and Sean C.
I have no idea how to explain how excited I am right now. Because sitting across from me on EPL 1300, brought to you by Linus Irish Pub, the great, the long missed, the long lost Colly Taylor is back from Ireland, where he's been scouting for us.
Scouting.
That's not what you've been doing?
Oh, yeah, it has, yeah. I scouted. Okay. I scouted.
Hi, Colly.
How's it going, Matthew?
Ole, ole, ole.
Laro, how are you?
I'm fine. It's great to have you back.
It's good to be here.
But now, I will say this. Michael Sean O'Shea, who joined me in your
Mickey
absence.
Mickey Sean O'Shea?
Mickey Sean. Yeah, see, we never got to that point. We should have.
Mickey Sean O'Shea.
He's still here.
How you doing, Sean?
Mickey Sean O'Shea.
Yeah.
Just drop the Sean. Just Mickey O'Shea sounds
no.
Cooler.
No. It's got to be the whole thing. And you're drinking from your Lauro cup.
Yeah. I'll tell you.
Is that some kind of competition? It should be.
the Lauro cup.
Yeah.
Not the FA Cup. The Lauro cup.
Yeah.
Did I tell you? You gave a couple for me to bring over to my friends, your fan club in
Ireland.
JP and Sully. And I met JP in a bar, and he was very excited. We put a pint of Guinness in it. It was hilarious. And we were talking about it walking out of the bar later on in the night.
Yeah, when you'd had a couple.
When he had a couple, and he dropped it as soon as he walked out. It's like smashed all over the place.
JP, I assume you're going to listen to this. I'm really angry that should have been wrapped if you carried it somewhere, it should have been in bubble wrap.
No, it was in the styrofoam.
Somewhere.
The bottom fell out of the styrofoam and then the cup fell straight through. Oh, smashed under. Oh, look, he's known for that. Too many beers.
Now,
he can't handle it.
When did this happen?
Last.
Roughly.
A week ago.
Okay, a week ago.
A week to the day, actually.
Okay. Now, he picked up all the pieces.
Yes.
And he was going to glue them back together.
He was going to glue them back
together. I heard he was upset.
I hope that he has a photo. Maybe he can post it to us on Twitter or something.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
This was started out as kind of a little joke that he was talking about me on social media.
Yeah. He's a fan of the show. What can you say?
Well, he was talking in not such a great way. Kidding around. He was totally kidding around. And I took offense to it, and then he apologized, and I decided that since they are now my two biggest fans over in Ireland, Sully and JP, I had a mug made up for both of them. It says Lauro, and it's got a picture of me from Eddie and the Cruisers on the side, and sent them back to Ireland with Colin.
How full of yourself do you have to be to make a mug of yourself and send it over to people? Seriously, Sean, what's your view on this?
All right, now wait a minute.
At least he's not drinking out of it himself.
I didn't make one for myself. This is for my fans.
Just one for me so you can look at me drinking out of it all the
exactly
time. You're looking
right
at yourself.
Which I just did. And it's pretty cool. I got to tell you.
You should see his China collection.
It's all stuff with pictures of me on it.
Right. From the Lauro Cup to the FA Cup.
That's right.
What a segue.
All right. So last weekend, this is one of the great, the Champions League, and we got all that. The FA Cup is now my favorite competition. Maybe even better to me than the World Cup. I love the FA Cup.
For what reasons?
Because, we talked a little before about this. And Michael Sean O'Shea and I,
Mickey Sano said.
I believe last week, right? It was in last week's
show. Yeah, it was last week.
We were previewing some of the upcoming matches, and we talked a little about it. This is exactly like Hoosiers in basketball, or to hit home with it, the high school basketball tournament in Kentucky, where all these little tiny schools have a chance to compete for a championship. And that's what the FA Cup is. I mean, we had the stats last week about how many clubs are actually in it.
Yeah.
And I think it's...
it's over the thousands. A couple of thousand.
And they're from
all the...
all
the way down to universities. And
tiny little hamlets over in England. And then this weekend, I sat watching these matches. And I mentioned to you Fleetwood Town and Tottenham.
Leicester. Yeah.
And they had a shot of a guy getting ready to throw in from the sideline right about at midfield. And the camera was behind his back towards the goal. And there was a couple of little houses outside. It looked like a high school field.
Yeah.
And they're playing the champions from 2 years ago. Well,
you equated it to high school, like Trinity and Louisville playing one of the local teams, a smaller local team from Western or Eastern Kentucky.
Right, a high school team.
I'd even go further than that. I'd say it's like a high school team playing against UK.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got someone, you can have someone specifically from a local, like a pub side.
Right.
A kick around on a Sunday afternoon team can qualify the whole way through, and they can take on the Manchester United's Manchester City of this world. The qualifying starts back in May, and it goes through, and then they have first round proper. Like, for people to get to the first round proper of the FA Cup, that is a celebration in itself.
Right.
To get on the national stage. So as it grows and grows and grows, you get so many people.
It's my favorite thing.
It's brilliant.
You had a good analogy with it as well. You said if it were football, it would be like Alabama coming in to play Henry Clay.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah. And that's not word of a lie. You're talking about all the professionalism, et cetera, of the likes of Alabama, all the money, and they'd come in and they'd play Henry Clay.
Right. Yeah.
Now, obviously, the size of the guys is going to make a big difference, but the want for it and the hunger that the Henry Clay players is going to be just there, and they'll give 100% against it. Now, they're going to get steamrolled in most cases, except for... on any given day in soccer, anybody can beat anybody.
Well, we saw it last weekend. There were some upsets.
There were a couple of upsets.
Last weekend.
Yeah. I suppose most notably, I'd have to go with the Nottingham Forest and Arsenal game.
4-2, right?
4-2, yeah. And Nottingham Forest played excellently.
Yeah.
They were brilliant. Really, really good. And that, I suppose for me, that was the biggest upset of the whole competition. There's a couple of other ones. I suppose Norwich City getting a draw against Chelsea, that's very good. Yeovil Town playing Bradford there in the same league. But Yeovil Town now, in the next round, they get to host Manchester United. So Manchester United are going to Yeovil Town. There's 70.
Michael's laughing over there. How big is Yeovil? I've never heard of
Yeovil. Yeovil Town is a small little hamlet, as you would have said, on the south coast of fishing town. On the south coast of England. I think they play in League Two, which is four divisions below Manchester United.
Right.
I reckon if we did up the stats in it, there's about 75 league positions in the difference of where they are.
Right.
So this is huge. Absolutely
and
massive.
And more importantly for them, as cool as it is, you mentioned something about the money.
Okay, well, if it was the other way around, in this instance, Manchester United are going to Yeovil.
Right, so the gate will be small.
So the gate will be small. It will still be a full crowd, and the gate will be small. If it was the other way around, where Yeovil went to Old Trafford, to Manchester United, they get something like a 10 to 15% cut of the gate. So for small teams like this, and the ticket prices at Manchester United, which would be a lot higher.
And the number of tickets.
Yeah, they're basically supporting the livelihood of the club and the town for the foreseeable future, for the next year.
Yeah.
This would bankroll them for the whole year.
Yeah.
It's excellent. That's one of the beauties of it. One of the big beauties of it. You know, there's some good, I think we got replays are on next Tuesday on the 16th.
Right.
And obviously Chelsea have Norwich there. Fleetwood have Leicester. Because as you're talking about Leicester and Fleetwood, they drew.
Right.
It was a draw.
So these replays are for draws.
Yeah. So if you get a draw, it goes to a replay. in the replay, then it goes into penalties. So if it's a draw after full time,
right.
There's no aggregate score in the FA Cup either.
Right.
Only
okay.
an aggregate score in the League Cup.
Right.
But yeah, it's a great competition. I was lucky enough to be at two FA Cup finals in my lifetime. One was Manchester United against Millwall back in 2003. Cristiano Ronaldo, was it 2003? Was 2003. Cristiano Ronaldo scored a couple of goals there, and Tim Cahill from Australia scored a goal for Millwall against Manchester United. That was an underdog story because Millwall were in Division 1.
They were
They were in the Championship, and they got to the final and played Manchester United. The other game I was at was, when was this one? 2012, I think. Arsenal against Hull City in Wembley, and Arsenal beat Hull City 3-2. Hull City went up 2-0. And then they lost 3-2, and that was...
But I think Hull City then was in the Championship also, weren't
they? No, they were actually in the... They're in the Premier League that year.
Okay.
They may have got relegated that year, but I'm not sure. But
Still
a huge deal. Huge deal. And it's great atmosphere, great day out. So,
So we had all these matches over the weekend.
Yeah.
I still can't believe Rochdale lost to... Doncaster Rovers. That's the match, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you had Rochdale going far.
Let's be honest.
The
picket around there was the game on Friday night, which was Liverpool against Everton.
Yeah.
2-1. And that was a great game. Winner in the last couple of minutes. Absolutely brilliant game. And that was a Premier League tie.
Right.
But in the FA Cup and being a local derby as well, it just presented a lot more passion to it. And you could see the fans in a Friday night game. Everybody was up for it. There's a few more beverages taken on board, etc. But that was a great game. And look, one of the hardest things to do is to pick a winner at FA. It's like the Sweet 16, or it's like the NCAA bracket.
Right.
Like you just can't pick it because it's so diverse. But you got to go with the favourites. It's going to be Manchester City, Liverpool, Chelsea, or Man United. They're your top four.
Right.
And if anybody breaks through that, then it's a huge
success. Deal. Right. That's what we're rooting for.
Yeah, exactly. You always want the underdog to win in this situation.
Yeah. All right. So we have replays coming up starting
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Right.
So you got Leicester City against Fleetwood Town, Mansfield Town, Cardiff City, Sheffield Wednesday, Carlisle United, West Ham United, who are an EPL team, against Shrewsbury Town, and Reading against Stevenage. Then on Wednesday, you have Chelsea against Norwich City. The other thing about this is Chelsea now have to play an extra game when they've already got Champions League and they're trying to compete to be top. It takes its toll on the players.
You know, Michael Sean O'Shea and I talked about it a couple times. This whole schedule during the season with all these extra matches and, you know, in the middle of league play.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
And it's also hard on the managers who have to try to decide, well, how important is this match in the FA Cup as opposed to who I'm playing next in the EPL?
Well, that's when you build your squad. So, like City, Liverpool, Chelsea, United, they try and have a squad for Premier League and Champions League when they're trying to compete in both competitions. Then when they have the League Cup, which is kind of lesser again, they normally blood some of the youngsters and that, and as it gets to the more serious stages, the quarterfinals, semifinals, etc., they'll start playing the more experienced players,
right?
Or some of the managers will stay with the younger players and say, you earned the right to be here,
right?
So keep on playing. The FA Cup, they normally play their strongest teams because it's such an important competition. So like, I think City, who basically have two squads anyway,
right,
they still had De Bruyne and etc. playing. Definitely Liverpool against Everton, they played their best squads that they can. You don't want to lose a game.
Right.
You don't want to be out of the FA Cup. It's a big competition. You know,
it's the
oldest competition in the world.
I know. We said that.
Yep.
We were on top of this while you were gone.
Right,
think you're the only one that knows stuff.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do. So third round replay Wednesday.
Yeah,
and Saturday.
The 27th of January is back into the fourth round.
Right.
Okay. And then you got some good ties there. A couple of Premier League ties. Liverpool against West Brom. Then I think you got, could be Chelsea or Norwich against Newcastle United.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've talked about it already. Yeovil Town host Manchester United. So, and you know, there's some great games there.
There are.
Tune in to the to the FA Cup on, over the, whenever it's on.
Right.
Spurs go down to another League Two side. They play at Newport. So
Newport
hosting awesome. Tottenham.
Awesome.
Excellent.
All right. And then, so this weekend we're back to
Premier League. Yeah. So okay. It's interspersed. Well,
that's a big word. We'll
you miss the big words, don't you?
I do. Yeah.
My vocabulary is very simple.
Yeah, and I kind of talk down to him when I know. Yeah.
You should keep your game where it is and bring him up to your level.
Said Alan Stein. Yeah, see, even you didn't even come up with that one.
Doesn't matter. You take what you can.
All right.
Where you can.
Collie's back, and Michael Sean O'Shea is sitting in with us as he will do. I guess now it's been decided.
We're a three-man team.
A three-ring circus is what it is. All right, we'll take a break. You're listening to EPL 1300. Collie's back. Michael Sean O'Shea's here. And I'm Lauro. And it's brought to you, all of it, by Lina's Irish Pub here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Under new local ownership, Lina's Irish Bar and Grill is the home of soccer in Lexington. We are open from 7 a.m. on Saturdays and Sundays for live EPL coverage. Serving fresh, delicious food with over 20 craft beers on tap, we have the best atmosphere in town. We also have live music on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturday nights. We are located at 384 Woodland Avenue, so drop in, have a beer, and cheer on your favorite team. Lina's, the home of soccer in Lexington.
Welcome back, EPL 1300. But we've decided, Collie and I, with Michael Sean O'Shea over there, that we have to change the name of the show.
But first of all, it's Mickey Sean O'Shea.
Oh, you come back and right away you're throwing yourself weight around.
It suits him better.
Your considerable weight, I might add.
Oh, too many Guinness.
But because obviously the focus of the show is the English Premier League, but we talk about local soccer. We talk especially FC Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And so many people here are so interested in what's going on. And so joining us again now is Lindsay Patterson, who is, well, she does many things. But for our purposes, she's heavily involved with FC Cincinnati. She's a sideline reporter for them. She also does Beyond the Stripes for the Bengals. She's ESPN3 sideline reporter. She does a million things, and we love having her on. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
We're good. It's great to have you with us again.
Great to be here.
Okay, so let's start, because obviously everybody is sitting on the edge of their seats, including us, about MLS and where FC Cincinnati is. We know Nashville was chosen to join MLS, and we need to know from you who do we call at MLS to constantly badger them about FC Cincinnati?
Send the heavies
around.
Well,
I think you would be in line with a lot of people. I'm sure they're getting plenty of phone calls wondering when that second announcement for the second expansion team is going to come out. I know right now, of course, we all know it's Sacramento, Detroit, and of course, Cincinnati, the three left for that one spot. And, you know, we're just waiting. I know the announcement before the holidays was the first of the year, you know, and hopefully have an update or before March. So we do have a time frame, I feel like, before the season gets started in the next couple months, or you never know, it could be next week. But we really don't have a huge update on it. Pat Brennan, he writes for Cincinnati.com, and he's been covering this closely, too, along with, of course, FC Cincinnati. Want to stay up to date. Always check out all of their stuff online and social media. And he really didn't have an update on that either. He's been in contact with the MLS. So not a huge update, but we're just hoping for good news for FC Cincinnati. Of course, they have a great case, that second expansion team. It's a little different how the MLS it was announcing Nashville first, and I'm sure they'd love to do both together. So we're just waiting and see. I wish I had a better update for you.
What was the feeling in Cincinnati after Nashville got announced as the first pick for the MLS? I personally, and this isn't favoritism, I fully supported Cincinnati and thought we were the better choice to get in there. Like, Nashville's a great city, etc., but just what's the feeling now? Is everyone a little bit more worried, or is it excitement, or are people dubious about what's going to happen?
I mean, I'm always going to be biased and say, of course, Cincinnati should be one of the expansion teams with the Nashville announcement. I think a lot of people were just waiting. I think they get a little nervous because you see the location of Nashville, not really sure which conference they're going to be in. It could be the Western or Eastern. I know Western's a little bizarre, but it's all a possibility. Or just stay in the Eastern with the possibility of losing Columbus. I think at the moment, fans, with weeks that have gone by since the national announcement, I think they're just feeling, just tell me. I just want to know. I want an update. And I feel bad for the people who run the SC Cincinnati communications as far as social media, because I'm sure they get tweets daily wondering what's going on, and they'll be the first to say it when we do know an announcement. But I think everyone's just kind of ready. Just tell us. I don't think it's worried. I think, again, I'm biased, so I'm speaking from that bias. But everybody feels really comfortable with what SC Cincinnati has and what they can do. And of course, Jeff Birding being the presenter when he did go to New York to hopefully get that second expansion or be one of the two expansion teams. When that guy is in charge, when he's talking, I'm listening.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it was a great presentation, and we're just waiting.
You know, one of the other things about this whole process is it seemed clear before, months ago when we started to talk about this, that it was going to be two clubs now and another two clubs in 2019. And it seems like there are possibilities that could even change. Am I right in reading that?
At the moment, I know that 2019 opportunity is a potential opportunity for SC Cincinnati or one of those teams. I feel like things keep changing as far as what it'll be, and we won't really know until everything is confirmed through MLS. But in 2019, I feel like SC Cincinnati would be the ready team to play.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they would, of course, hit the ground running on that stadium where we don't have the location exactly yet, but they could play at Nippert. They have shown that they can host MLS teams. They did it during the U.S. Open Cup, so they could build their team, and I just feel like they obviously have the fan base. So they would be ready, I would think, and that's, of course, I'm throwing in the bias again, but they would be ready for 2019, and I at the moment, I just feel like it's just wait and see into what the MLS has to say about the 2019 deal.
Speaking of fan base, I think it was a tweet that you posted a couple of weeks ago, but it looks like you've nearly sold out of all the season-long ticket holders. Is that correct, or...?
Well, no, they just beat last year.
Oh, okay.
The new goal is 20,000.
20,000.
They have 15,000 season ticket holders. And what's just so crazy about that is 15,000 people are already going to be at those matches, those home matches. And, of course, we were hitting 2022 when you had the U.S. Open Cups, the 30s, the 33,000, which is a possibility. And we have seen it two seasons in a row, four different matches. I think insanely crazy and amazing that we can just guarantee 15,000 people will be at every match, and now they have new goals. And that's just what SC Cincinnati does. I mean, they're going into year three, and it's like, okay, well, we got 15,000. Let's make a new goal. Not like, oh, 15,000, here we go. That's awesome. All right, when's the season start? It's always going one step further with that fan base, and I wouldn't be surprised to see that to 18,000 or 20,000 as far as season ticket holders. And I just find that just so incredibly awesome.
Yep.
And the atmosphere is going to be amazing again going into season three at Nippert.
All right. I'm all excited now having you on the show and hearing your enthusiasm. It's contagious.
I'm always excited.
I know. That's a great thing to be. All right. There have been a couple of, I mentioned to you before we started, I love getting on Twitter and seeing on the FC Cincinnati, as well as your Twitter account, about new signings and adding some really terrific players to this team.
Yes, what I'm so excited about going into this season, it's the first offseason that Alan Koch has really had to build that roster. He was kind of named named the coach going into preseason. He kind of added later on in the offseason going into the 2017 season. And of course, he did bring in some talent during the season and before it started. But this is his first real offseason to get to work. to put it together. And he told us after the playoff game, he was getting to work. That was one thing. I mean, yeah, the playoff game's over in Tampa. Now I'm focusing on 2018. I don't even know if the guy took a vacation in the offseason. He's already pumped and ready to get going. They'll start training next week. So I'm excited to meet some of the newer guys, his newer faces. The roster will look a little different going into 2018, but I can tell you right now, is definitely talented. And Alan Koch, he's one of those guys who I enjoy interviewing him, but the guy has an eye for talent. So his roster that he built for 2018, it's going to be something special to watch.
And one of the great things, I know I have an Irishman sitting here with me, and but we have an Argentine coming, a Welshman.
Yep.
Welshman's from Guyana. He's not actually Welsh.
Oh, okay.
He's a Guyanan international, actually, yeah. But his name is Welshman. It's just, obviously.
We're going to have a pronunciation guide. I'm ready. I'm going to be prepping for that as far as homework. I'm already getting people on social media who said, give me a pronunciation guide. I'm already going to have it down for each match for all of the guys. And they're going to be, like I said, it's going to be something fun to watch in 2018.
Well, that's an easy one, but I want to explain what just happened because this is really funny. I'm on the FCCincinnati.com website. And I'm scrolling through, and the first one says, Argentine veteran Ledesma joins FCC ahead of 2018. Oh, cool. And then I scroll down, and it says, Welshman adds talent to FCC front line. So I'm thinking, oh, cool, they got a guy from Wales, too. And then Kali says to me, no, that's
lucky
his,
I'm here
that's his name.
You.
Yeah, it's a good thing he's
no
back.
No fake news.
Yeah, good thing he's there.
Okay, so I didn't realize training starts next week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've already had, before even, probably I want to say about a month or two ago, the guys were out there just training together for fun.
Yeah.
I don't think it was anything major organized for training, but they just wanted to get out there and kick the ball around a little bit and get ready for the season. But now that the new guys are coming to town, they'll get started next week. And I'm really looking forward to watching some training. We'll get into preseason. I can't believe the matches are going to be starting soon. So it just flew by fast, and I'm thankful for that.
Is there any local tournaments that are going to be on in Cincinnati where they might be hosting like a round-robin kind of tournament or anything like that just as a preseason? Or are they going to play in any tournaments further away against MLS teams or anything like that?
Last year, they did play in a couple of tournaments, or at least preseason matches. Our schedule for the USL, it should be out by the end of the week, but it could be early next week. So we'll get a little more of a picture of what's going to happen in the preseason and regular season for 2018. So I think that's more of a wait and see.
Okay.
But they'll definitely, I wouldn't be surprised if they get involved in some of the tournaments.
Good stuff.
Okay. Yeah, you're just the best, Lindsay. We love having you on. You are. And, I'm going to talk to Jeff Birding about putting you up in the ranks and giving you more money.
No.
I hope you don't mind. I'm going to be your agent for a while.
Have a good time. And definitely takes care of us. So it's a lot of fun. I'm already looking forward to 2018.
Cool. Well, we look forward to having you back again soon. And thanks for jumping on with us.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You too. Bye. Lindsay Patterson.
Excellent.
She's
very
so
good.
Terrific. She really is. But she needs to, her enthusiasm level is a little down, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay, we can talk. Holy cow. It's great, though. I mean,
it's brilliant.
What a great person to have with you along for the ride, because she's
right there in the sideline. That's right. What she does. She knows a lot about a lot of sports as well. Very knowledgeable.
She's very cool.
Very good indeed.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Still a lot to talk about.
So much.
Now that Kali is back, Colm Taylor, along with Laura.
And Mickey Sean O'Shea.
I can't believe he just comes back and takes over everything. He's undoing what we've done.
I'm all right with Mickey.
Oh.
Makes it feel like we're just a bunch of pals sitting around.
That's what we're looking for.
Well, maybe the two of you. I don't feel like Laura, Kali, I'm included in that group.
You want to be Matty?
No, Laurel.
Kali, Matty, and Mickey.
Oh, this Laurel, is EPL 1300 on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, brought to you by Linus.
Under new local ownership, Lina's Irish Bar and Grill is the home of soccer in Lexington. We are open from 7 a.m. on Saturdays and Sundays for live EPL coverage. Serving fresh, delicious food with over 20 craft beers on tap, we have the best atmosphere in town. We also have live music on Wednesdays, Fridays and Saturday nights. We are located at 384 Woodland Avenue, so drop in, have a beer and cheer on your favourite team. Lina's, the home of soccer in Lexington.
Welcome back, Collie Taylor, Collie and Laura, and Mickey Sean O'Shea. Right here, EPL 1300. Thanks again to Lindsay Patterson for joining us. She's awesome.
If you're up in Cincinnati during the season, go to a game.
Absolutely.
Check out the atmosphere there. See if you want to become a season ticket holder.
It's pretty great. All right. Something else that's been going on since Collie was gone and now back. January 1st it started and it continues till the end of the month is the transfer window. And there have been some really good transfers, teams really trying to add to what they can do this season and in some cases seasons beyond. And the big name obviously is Coutinho. So what about the little guy? He is little too.
It was banded around at the start of the season, and as soon as Neymar went from Barcelona to PSG for that outlandish figure, everyone said straight away that Coutinho would be going to Barcelona because they had the readies, they had the money to go and purchase him. Now, Coutinho, for me, isn't as good as Neymar, but he's just as petulant as him. I don't like Neymar. He's a good player, but Coutinho, straight away,
Neymar's a great player.
He is a great player, but he's not he still hasn't won player of the year.
No, he's not, but he's like 13 years old. Give him a little time. Come on.
I don't like his attitude.
Okay.
I don't like his attitude. He wants someone to carry his bags, all this, his agent. I just can't stand that side of football. Coutinho buys into that as well. He wants all the money. He didn't play. Look at Liverpool over the last 6 months. He wasn't playing that well. Coutinho wasn't the guy that was dragging him along. You know, and look, 142 million sterling is what he went for. So I don't know what the exchange rate is at the moment, but it's well over $200 million.
Million dollars
was what he went. Barcelona got their man. Is he the savior of Barcelona? Is he the next Messi? No.
Right.
He's not.
Okay, all right.
He's not. He's not a Cristiano Ronaldo, and he's not a Messi.
And he's not a Harry Kane.
He's not a Harry Kane.
There you go.
But he is a good player. He is a good player, but he's not worth that money. I don't think anybody's worth that money. Speaking of Harry Kane, he was banded.
Wait a minute. Tom Brady's worth that money.
Why?
I don't know.
Nah.
He's got a lot of rings. He wins championships. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Coutinho hasn't won anything.
I know he hasn't.
He hasn't been a Harry Kane. He hasn't put in 30 goals in a season. He hasn't dragged people up by their bootstraps to play alongside him. Yeah, he's wishy-washy. He's not worth it.
All right.
In my opinion. Harry Kane, talk is that if he does go anywhere, it would only be to Spain.
Right.
And that was banned around this transfer window. I don't think he's going to go anywhere.
All right, now wait.
I think he's going to be a one-man club.
Okay, now, a one-club man, you mean?
One man. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay. I know, you're still jet-lagged.
I don't know if they have to pay him enough. He might end up being a one-man club.
I guarantee you he won't score as many goals.
No,
by the way, just since you said that, one man club, if you go, I saw this on Twitter, I got to show it to you. If you're listening and you want to see something great, it's on YouTube. In Japan, three Japanese professional soccer players against, I think it was 90 Japanese school children. It's the greatest thing you ever saw. On the pitch, these three Japanese guys trying to score against 90 school children. I'll show it to you. It's fantastic. Well, they scored. The three guys actually scored a goal, but they're trying, but they're not really trying. It's just really cool.
Japanese people are
really
great.
Cool.
They're mad, aren't they? They love it.
It is.
Did you ever see Takeshi's Castle or any of that stuff? No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff.
It is. But this,
that's where American Ninja comes from as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. Well, that started off there. Yeah.
Right. But just in terms of soccer, it's really cool. Anyway, hold it. No, wait, wait.
Well, I got a little Japanese segue as well, just for your
Okay, but we're getting back to Harry Kane. Okay.
We will. But there's a Japanese striker, right? His name's Kazuyoshi Miura.
Yeah, say it again.
Kazuyoshi Miura. Kazuyoshi Miura.
Okay.
Look, you can you can check it out.
No, yeah.
Right, so he is 50 years of age, and last week he just signed another year contract to take him into his 51st year of playing. Now, he's playing in the J League, the second...
No, not 51st year of playing, 33rd year.
33rd year of playing, right. 51st year of age.
Of life.
Of life. So he went to Brazil when he was 14 years of age and played for Santos when he was 18.
Then, pretty big club.
Then he moved and he played in Genoa in Italy and Dynamo Zagreb in Croatia as well. So he's played all over the place. He scored a number of goals for Japan in 1990. He qualified Japan for the World Cup in 1990, and then he was dropped from the team. So he never played international football again.
Ah,
ridiculous. But that's why he's got a bit of longevity left in the legs.
I guess.
Never had to do the international.
Yeah, but he's 50 years old and he just signed a year contract.
Play in the second. So it'd be like him playing for Cincinnati.
Right. Oh.
That's unreal.
That's awesome.
He made his Japan debut in 1990.
Holy cow. All right, Harry Kane.
Yeah.
The reason that his name is brought up about going to Spain somehow is, and I heard a great discussion watching over the weekend their FA Cup match at halftime, they were talking about the fact that if he wants to really be considered one of the true world greats, not just an English Premier League great, he has to be with a club that can win a World Cup. Internationally, it's going to take that for him. And that's why he would go to Spain, to Barca or Real Madrid or someplace. And you're saying you don't think so. You think he'll finish his career with Tottenham.
I think with Tottenham's new stadium and where they're looking to go, I think they will do everything they can to hold on to Harry Kane. And they've already done it, build a team around him and keep him as a figurehead. He seems, I've never met him, but he seems like a down-to-earth kind of chap who wants to just, he's a local lad, keep everything in, like he'd become a legend there, like break all scoring records, and they could name the new stand in the new stadium about him. Like, you've seen the new stadium that Spurs are building. It's unreal. In White Hart Lane.
Yep.
And I really, for my love of football, I hope he stays as a one man.
Oh, I
one
do
club
too.
Man.
One club.
One club man. Why can't I get that right?
I don't want him to go anywhere. And that's for sure.
I don't know. Money talks. Look, in other news, Man United have put in, well, not.
All right, now wait.
There's talk that they're going to swoop for Sanchez.
Now
from
wait, go back a little, because the original story, as early as this morning that I saw, it was Manchester City. There's a whole thing with Arsene Wenger, the manager, saying he didn't play Sanchez.
Yeah.
On Wednesday night. He put him in the second half. And everybody was saying it's because Manchester City, they're trying to work out a move to Man City.
The news is that Mourinho wants to come in to stop Pep Guardiola from taking Sanchez and strengthening his squad even further. And he wouldn't be a bad addition. He's a great addition. He's a great player to the United side. There's talk of him maybe offering Mkhitaryan as well as some cash for him. But I don't know.
That's crazy. This is like, as a parallel, like the Yankees and Red Sox swapping a really great player in the middle of a pennant race giving them another great. I mean, this is kind of crazy. Like, I understand transfers from EPL to Spain,
out of the divisions, even.
Right? Or it's somebody from a foreign country to Liverpool. But this is kind of weird. Or does this happen all the time?
It doesn't happen all the time. I think there's some notable ones where Newcastle United were building a great team back in 1994-95, and they had the top scorer in the league in Andy Cole, and Manchester United went in, spent at the time, which is a record fee, I think about 8 or 9 million, and they took him off his they took him straight out from underneath Newcastle United, where he's been scoring 20-30 goals a season. Right. That has happened, and Andy Cole went on, very successful Champions League winner, etc., with Manchester United, won multiple titles. It happens quite a lot. for lower players.
Right.
There's definitely inter-trading, but the higher players, it doesn't happen that often. Right. Because you don't want to be seen to be strengthening your team, or weakening your team and strengthening another team.
Right.
Sanchez wants to leave. That's everybody knows that Sanchez right. wants to leave. Where he goes, if you're looking and you were... If you're an Arsene Wenger, you'd be saying, right, let's give him to Barca or someone else at PSG. Let's right. get him outside the Premier League.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Someone else might come in for him.
Well, this is good. And we have till the end of January for all this stuff.
Yeah.
We still have time. So we'll just keep watching.
It can change so fast in this game, though. You know what I mean? It really can.
Right.
It's just the way it goes. In some respects, it's not unlike, I suppose, when Celtics and Cavs and what's his name?
With Kyrie.
Kyrie, when he went across.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this edition of EPL 1300 and whatever we're going to call this show down the road. It'll be something about soccer, probably.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Kali and Lauro and Mickey here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Under new local ownership, Lina's Irish Bar and Grill is the home of soccer in Lexington. We are open from 7 a.m. on Saturdays and Sundays for live EPL coverage. Serving fresh, delicious food with over 20 craft beers on tap, we have the best atmosphere in town. We also have live music on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturday nights. We are located at 384 Woodland Avenue, so drop in, have a beer, and cheer on your favorite team. Lina's, the home of soccer in Lexington.
All right, we only got a few minutes, so talk quick.
Okay, like an Irish person?
That'd be great.
Okay.
We're going to just real quick run down what's coming up this weekend.
All live at Linus.
Right, live at Linus starting Saturday.
No early kickoff. So we got Chelsea against Leicester City, Chelsea at home. Who are you going for?
I'm going for Chelsea.
So am I.
All right.
Crystal Palace, Burnley, the revitalized Crystal Palace.
I'm taking the Palace as
I'm going Burnley, Mickey. Away win.
Really?
The Palace. Yeah, Burnley's going to take this one.
Oh, stop.
Huddersfield against West Ham.
Huddersfield.
Yes,
Huddersfield. What do you call them?
The Huds.
Yeah, the Huds.
Yeah. Newcastle United and Swansea City.
Newcastle.
Who cares?
Swans sucks. Who cares is good.
It's Newcastle. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Watford against Southampton.
Watford.
Yeah, Watford.
Draw.
Okay.
West Bromwich Albion against Brighton and Hove Albion.
I'm saying this is a crucial match for West Brom. I'm taking West Brom.
Scoreless draw.
Mm-hmm. Put some money in Vegas on that.
All right.
Put some money. I'm going to go with Brighton. They had a good win during the week, so Brighton.
Well, good
Spurs
for you.
Against Everton.
Oh,
late kickoff. This is the late kickoff.
Yeah, and it's at Wembley, so I'm going to take the Spurs. I can't not go for the Spurs.
Okay.
Much as I love Big Sam, I'm going Spurs as well.
Yeah.
Unanimous.
This jet lag thing is bad. All right, Sunday.
Bournemouth against Arsenal.
Arsenal.
Okay, then this is the game. This is the game where City are going to lose. Liverpool against Man City. The big game at Liverpool in Anfield.
Yep.
I'm going with Liverpool.
Okay, mark this down. He's made it. Now, they're no longer...
I'm going to put money on this as well.
They don't have a winning streak anymore. They have an unbeaten streak.
Unbeaten streak.
But 0-0 draw against the Palace.
They're still... Yeah.
Yeah, all right. They're 15 points ahead at the top of the table.
It doesn't really matter. They're going to get bit.
Okay. All right. Okay. Monday.
They're going to draw United. Going to be 4-4 or something. It's going to be a draw. It's going to be a ridiculously high-scoring draw.
All right. United, Stoke City. Going to go with a United win there.
Yeah, me too. And that's cool. Monday.
That's Monday. Right. So that's it for the weekend. We didn't even get to talk about the midweek Premier League games from last week.
I know, but it's like we said, there are so many. Well, is there one you want to talk about?
Well, City draw with Palace was, I suppose.
Palace is playing really well.
Roy Hodgson.
Especially compared to what they do. I love Roy Hodgson, too.
Roy Hodgson.
I love him.
What did you call him?
Roy Hodgson.
It's Roy Hodgson. He can't pronounce his R's, so you have to call him Roy with a W.
Oh, really?
That's what everyone does.
Is he Jonathan Ross-like?
Yeah.
Bossy.
Roy Hodgson.
Roy Hodgson.
Yeah, yeah.
I love the guy.
Yeah.
And most people do. What's not to love?
If you're an English fan, I don't think they...
Why is that?
We like them.
It's like Porky Pig or something.
Wonder Webber is talking.
Yeah. Why not? Just because of World Cup stuff and national team stuff?
Yeah, generally. He just seemed to be kind of drab, but he's a good manager.
Yeah, he's a good manager, and he's kind of like your uncle. You know, he's kind of like somebody's uncle. not my uncle, somebody's uncle. All right.
Roy Hudson, somebody's uncle.
Yeah, somebody. I'm sure he is. Or unless he's an only child.
No.
Yeah, see? You don't think
of
that.
Could be an uncle by
marriage. No, not necessarily, because he could be married, and then he could still be somebody's uncle.
But it's not the same.
It's still someone's uncle.
No, it's not the same. Maybe in Ireland, but not in the United States.
That's right.
We've had a great time. It's great to have Collie back.
Get down to Linus.
Get down to Linus, and we'll see you all next week. Collie and Lauro and Mickey. What a law firm. Right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.